What is the upskis, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the GX Gamercast. We're on episode 143 of my little gaming show, where once a week I just has to talk about video games, whether they're new video games that I'm playing today, old video games that I grew up with. It doesn't matter. Video games. And today, I've been teasing it. It's been a long time since we've done a versus, and it's time. Let's do a versus. It's a tale as old as time itself. It is Mario versus Sonic. What is the better game franchise? We're not doing that. What this versus is trying to simulate is what it was like for Sega / Nintendo kids back in the 90s when they had to make a decision. And I'm going to try and be that kid at the game store with a Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo in front of me. My parents are saying you can pick one, and here I am. I'm going to put myself in a versus scenario, and I'm going to try and make this decision with the mindset that I'm a kid in the 90s, and I was a very good boy, and now I get to pick a system, and we're going to make that decision. So we'll do that in a moment, but before we get into that versus, let us discuss what I've been up to over the last week or so. As I always encourage you, the viewer, the listener, let me know what y'all have been up to. Throw an email, comment on Spotify, anything like that. All right, let's get into it. The challenge, of course. Kind of a staple now of this podcast. That is my wife and I's, junk food show. You know what I'm saying? We got that reality TV. I'm a sucker for reality TV shows, man. I grew up during the boom of reality TV in the late 90s, early 2000s. So yeah, I'm a sucker for that crap. And the challenge is right up there with one of my all-time favorites. And yeah, man, we're knocked out another Challenge All-Stars Season 4. It was a banger. The characters inside of that season were awesome. Though a little more tame, you know, Laurel decided to calm down a little bit. Wasn't very into the winner. You know, my person didn't win, but it is what it do. And now we've moved on to, I don't even know if I can really officially say that we started Challenge All-Star Rivals. Basically just got into the intro of that, seeing who's in it. We're like, oh fuck, it looks, again, another season filled with tons of personality. It's gonna be great. They got a couple of guys in there that I absolutely despise, so it's gonna be fun, hopefully, watching them fail. But if you have not been on the challenge, like, I never even heard of the challenge until just like a year or so ago. And yeah, the show's been around since the 90s. It's like the real world mixed with like a little bit of Big Brother, obviously. Maybe a slither of Survivor. But it's one of those kind of games, man. It's just... And the more you watch it, people... It's a very familiar show. Like, you're going to have reoccurring people all the time. There's like some people you see every freaking year, I swear. Like, there's some people that show up all the time. Like a guy like Jordan. There's a guy, Jordan, he's just like a dominator of the challenge. He generally goes far. He's a pain. He's not a personality that I really enjoy that much. And whenever he's there, I'm just like, ugh. And one guy, he was just like, if Jordan shows up, I'm fucking leaving right now. And I'm like, that's my man right there. Like, I feel you, bro. Like, I'm so tired of seeing Jordan. All right, now I imagine all of you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So let's move off of the challenge. What else have I been doing? I got into Andor finally, since it was May the 4th, you know, the Star Wars Day, May the 4th, be with you and all that stuff. I was like, ah, crap, I gotta do something Star Wars. So I watched the recap on Disney for the season 1 recap of Andor, and I will just say that is the worst recap I have ever watched. I am more I somehow learned less about the show. It made me so much more confused. There is zero context to anything that they're showing you in that 15-minute fucking recap. I was like, what are we doing? Who's that? What's this? When did this happen? How's that? What's this? It doesn't explain anything. It's basically just a compilation of like cool moments that happened with zero context. So don't watch that. If you're planning on getting an actual recap, you're probably gonna have to go on YouTube. So I was very disappointed with that, but I dived in very confused into season two. Episode 1 was great. A lot of cool action. I love that the scene with him stealing the ship or whatever, and he's like crashing it and just fucking destroying everything, and that was pretty good. overall, you know, season one of Andor, I didn't love it. I thought it was definitely overrated, overhyped, all that stuff. But the last couple of episodes were phenomenal, and I've heard great things about it so far. So far, so good, but I'm only one episode in, so yeah, not a lot of opinions on that one. Now, a show that I did finish this week was You. Oh, man, what a just a out-of-nowhere hit for Netflix, this You show. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's, oh, man. The thing I want it to be more than anything is Dennis from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He's got, like, the Dennis system, the way that he treats women. He acts like a psychopath, all that stuff. And this character in You just reminds me of, you know, Dennis, if they made a show about how he's, like, basically a serial killer on the rise. And, yeah, man, it's a great show. Season 5 almost lost me there for a second. It started off, and they were literally doing the exact same formula as, like, all the other seasons. I'm like, no fucking way. Like, this guy literally, like, finds another perfect girl to fall in love with, and then all of a sudden, the previous perfect girl is just a piece of shit. Throw her away. It's literally like the Call of Duty thing, like, the newest Call of Duty. It's here. It's great. It's fine. Everyone hates it until a new one comes along, and now we hate that one, and it's ridiculous, but then the season twisted on me, and I was like, oh, snap. So this twist happens, I'm back in, I'm like, fucking rights, and then they kind of twist it again, they kind of go backwards, I'm like, no, and then it ends very, very good. This is the final season of the show, it's done now, and overall, I thought it was great. I was very satisfied with the ending. They kind of tied everything up pretty nicely, and yeah, very satisfying show. I, like, when I saw that show, I was like, oh, that doesn't look like a show I'm gonna like. We tried it out, and I was like, yo, it's actually pretty good. And here we are, 5 seasons later, great show. 8 out of 10, if you haven't checked out You, it's pretty fucking good, man. Pretty good show. I liked it. It didn't fucking fail at the ending. I thought they stuck the landing. Very nice, good-ass show right there. That's on Netflix, so you can check that one out. And I think, yep, that's all I've been watching. No movies this week. Let's talk about video games. So I'm still playing Final Fantasy VIII, having a great time with it. I'm a handful of hours into it now, and yeah, it's good. Really enjoying the music. I'm enjoying the story. It's the combat that's kind of a drag to get through. It's a PS1 turn-based RPG, so I'm kind of just fast-forwarding through combat, not really having any problems there. I'm just kind of here for the story and just to experience the game. This is the last PS1 Final Fantasy that I haven't played, so I'm just kind of here to experience it. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. And, yeah, so playing Final Fantasy VIII, I booted back up Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm Heaven game or whatever. An amazing video game, by the way. Booted that back up because I'm playing Final Fantasy, and I'm like, ah, now I want to go back and play some of the songs. I fucking love this game, man. This game's so freaking good. The only thing I wish I didn't do was buy the game in a physical version. I wish I just did a digital thing, so then, because now every time, I want to play it all the freaking time, but then I got to go all the way downstairs, crack open the case, put the game in, put the other game out, put it back on the shelf, go upstairs, and like, that's a lot of work, y'all, but I finally did it. Put the cartridge back in. Now it's going to sit in there for a while, and I'm going to play the shit out of Theater Rhythm Heaven, kind of get myself ready for a upcoming rhythm game episode that I want to do. So I'm playing some other rhythm games outside of Rock Band and Guitar Hero to discuss a whole bunch of rhythm games at one point. We'll do an episode on that. So back into Theater Rhythm. If you have not played that game, dude, oh, and you're a Final Fantasy fan, it is just the biggest compilation of all the Final Fantasy music, like all of it. And I downloaded the Chrono Trigger music because obviously, like, why wouldn't I do that? Amazing. I almost pulled the trigger this week on buying the DLC pack. It was like $20 and it comes with all the packs. I was like, oh, I want to pull that trigger so bad, but it didn't. And now it's not on sale. So there you go. Now I won't do it, but I did make some gaming purchases this week. So let's discuss that. Obviously with May the 4th, they had a whole bunch of Star Wars deals. So I picked up the KOTOR package on Nintendo Switch. It was like $12-$13 or something. You get KOTOR 1 and KOTOR 2. So I'm excited, man. You know, the KOTOR remake is coming out soon-ish. So I'm hoping I can get into it before that and then get into the remake at some point and see the differences. I have started KOTOR a couple of times in my life, and I haven't gotten very far into it. I'm hoping the Switch version will help me get into it. I can kind of watch something, whatever, if it's not interesting at that moment. But I'm very excited to get into KOTOR. Never played KOTOR 2. I know it's not as highly regarded as the first one, but I still want to check it out for sure. And I'm very, very excited about that. So get your hands on that KOTOR. I don't know if it's still on sale or anything, but that I think that's the cheapest I've seen it. If you want to buy them singular, I mean, it's a better deal to buy the bundle, but they're like $5, I think. I think one of them's more expensive. But anyway, it's a very good deal if you want to get that one. So they're, and they have like pretty much everything Star Wars was on sale. So if you want to get into that, I don't think I bought... I also purchased... I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's like Far Lone Shores or something like that. I just used up the rest of my Nintendo points that I have because those are going away. So use them. If you have them, make sure you spend your points. So I spent my points on this like $2 game. I heard good things about it. I don't really know anything about it. So maybe one day I'll talk about it. Other than that, I'm still playing Banner. I can't stop calling it Banner. Banner Saga. Onto the second game now. I think I'm almost at the end. We're probably at the last little spot here in the second story. Oh, it's so good so far, man. I'm really into it. I'm enjoying the story. I've had quite a few like jaw-dropping moments where I'm like, oh my god, like, can't believe that happened. There's this crazy moment, man. Like, we're getting chased by these fucking evil dudes, and we gotta make this epic fucking crossing of this chasms. We got these like magicians. They're like lifting up these massive rocks while we're crossing it, and like the rocks behind us are falling, and it's just like very tense situation, man. I'm loving the game. It is excellent, and I wish it's a game that got more attention. I plan on doing an episode. Like, I kind of want to, maybe once I get the trilogy done, I can throw it into an underrated episode, do a little trilogy review, and throw in some other underrated games as a recommendation. I feel like that could be an episode. I don't know if I want to do a whole episode dedicated to the Banner Saga because it's so story-driven. It would be a lot of spoilers and stuff like that. There's not a lot to the gameplay. It's a very much so story, pick-your-own-adventure style thing. And yeah, so I would definitely, I'll be talking about it at some point once I finish it. But damn, dude, this game is sick. I'm so happy I don't know, it's just, I watched a video, it caught my attention, I'm like, yo, that looks very cool, and I picked it up for rather cheap on Amazon, got the whole trilogy for, I think it was like $30-$35, very affordable. They're like $30 a game online, so I figured, why not get the whole trilogy, and get buy one, get two free kind of deal. So if you're interested, check out Amazon. PS4 version's the one that I got. You're going to be looking at like an $80+ game if you want to get it on Switch, so... You know, if you want to save a buck, just play it on PlayStation. I'm having a great time. And, of course, I'm still playing Oblivion. I am getting a little bit drained out here. It's starting to put me... I'm starting to get sleepy every time I play it now. Granted, it may not be Oblivion's fault. I have been watching the Washington Carolina series while playing it. And that's got to be the boringest fucking NHL playoff series I've seen since, like, New Jersey Anaheim Ducks. It is a snooze fest. Brutal hockey. And then, like, you got all the other great hockey going on around it. It's, what a shame. Carolina, you just sucked the wind right out of the NHL playoffs, bro. I hate you guys. All right, so a lot of Oblivion. I'm pretty much done the Thieves Guild, the Mages, the Fighters Guild. I'm gonna get into the Brotherhood here pretty soon, and now I'm just kind of going to the main quest stuff, and fuck, it's so boring. It is so boring, like, the first few quests there, oh man, just going through, like, these shitty fucking dungeons, killing rats and crabs. I'm like, bro, I've already been killing trolls and, like, fucking shadow knights and shit, and, like, I don't want to be doing this crap, so, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna be grinding out some more Oblivion. We'll do an Oblivion episode and talk about it, but, it's starting to show its age a little bit, even though I'm, like, damn near 100 hours in, and I'm still playing it, but... I wouldn't say it's a must play, but we'll discuss that in full when I do an Oblivion episode. We'll do that in maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks. We'll see. It's out there. It's on the docket for sure. I'll be talking about that. And outside of that, I'm pretty sure that is everything I have been up to. So there we go, everybody. Let me know what you have been playing. Did you pick up any Star Wars stuff? Did you watch any Star Wars movies? There's, again, I'm not the biggest star. I like Star Wars. I don't fucking love it. Like, I don't go crazy. Like, say a new trilogy is announced tomorrow, I'll be like, oh, all right. I'm not going to be there day one in the theaters dressed up like a Star Trooper or anything. Like, I'm just like, kind of a casual Star Wars fan. Like, I watch a lot of Star Wars stuff because there's so much of it. Like, geez, there's still so much on Disney. Like, I haven't gotten to the Skeleton Crew. I haven't even watched Episode 9 yet because I accidentally watched Episode 8 two times. And I'm like, whoo, that took a bite out of me. So I'm just really not in that mood. Anyway, all right, let's end this rambling. Let's talk about Mario versus Sonic. A thing that has never been talked about before, absolutely. All right, let's get into it. All right, versus. Let's break down some rules. So we're going to go through six categories. One of these categories is worth 2 points. So 7 total points. Best of 7 series, baby. So that's basically how we're going to do it. We got main characters, so we're going up against the Sonic versus Mario. We got the sidekick, Tails versus Yoshi. We got the main villain, Bowser versus Eggman. Then we're putting up the graphics, the soundtrack, and of course, the gameplay, which is the crucial 2-point category. So we will get into all those categories. Let us start off with the main character design. No, we'll toss in box art for the graphics side, because box art in the 90s was extremely important. And remember, we're back in the 90s. We're just a simple kid with a horrifyingly hard decision to make. Do we pick the Sega or do we pick the Super Nintendo? You got two decisions here in front of you. You got the Super Nintendo bundle with Super Mario World, and let's just pretend there's a Sega bundle with Sonic the Hedgehog 2. Let's try and make this decision as a child. Okay. So, when you're looking at the main characters of this game, you got Sonic the Hedgehog, a hedgehog. He's blue, and he's got attitude, bro. He's got attitude. I really like the look of Sonic the Hedgehog, man. I've always liked him. He's cool, man. Like, he definitely is the personification of 90s cool. He's got shoes that are too big for him. He's got white gloves on because he's always ready to commit murder. He's got gloves on. He can take a body away. Not a big deal. He's got his arms crossed, man. Like, you know, that's so cool. That doesn't mean he's in a bad mood. That means he's just too cool for you. Too cool for school, as the kids used to say. But Sonic, with his kind of spiky blue hair, if you will, that was always cool, man. Reminds me of Dragon Ball Z, when fucking everybody in that show has spiky cool hair that no one in the real world could ever possibly have. But Sonic is rocking that awesome spiky blue hair. His shoes are iconic, man. Like, those red, the white shoe looks awesome. And you know what? I'm an animal lover as well. Animals are super cute. I think Sonic's kind of cute. He rolls up in a little ball. I think hedgehogs, just the animal, the normal animal, is incredibly adorable. They're super cute. And Sonic also has a very cute nose that doesn't get talked about very much. But bro, his little nose that sticks out and a little black nose on the end. Oh, it's so cute. I love it. So Sonic, starting out pretty good, bro. I mean, he doesn't have any clothes on outside of the gloves and the shoes. So he's running rogue. Got no dangling there. So, you know, what he's got no heat pack in there. Got no butthole. But it is a children's game. We will be reminded of this. So that's good that he doesn't have a dangling showing and all that kind of inappropriate stuff. All right, Mario. So, Mario is the man. He's a simple plumber. Doesn't really... he definitely doesn't have any... So, I'm going to take the look of him on Super Mario World, right? I'm not going to... We're just going to see what he... So, he's got a cape going on. That's really cool. Capes are cool. Capes generally mean that you're a superhero. Now, I don't really know what kids were thinking of Mario at the time in the 90s. I imagine he was very popular. But I don't know if he's like the iconic character that he is today, where he's basically more well-known than Santa Claus. Like, it's Mario, bro. Everybody knows Mario. So I got to take that with a grain of salt that he's not like the complete and utter icon that he was yet. He is an icon, absolutely. He is the face of Nintendo, and Sonic is the face of his franchise. Now, Mario has a mustache. Those are big points for me. I love that mustache. That mustache is iconic. His big nose that goes with it. And of course, the hat. Now, there is always, is he bald under that hat? Now, we know the answer to that now. Of course not. He's Italian. He's got thick flow. He looks amazing. But, I don't know. He looks, You know, now the thing that's throwing me off here, now I can't really throw that, but no, I'm not even going to throw that argument out because that's part of the box art thing. But Mario himself, he's got clothes on, that's good. He's got the white gloves on, so he can commit murders at any time, just like Sonic can. Now, you would prefer the black gloves when it comes to murder, but at least he's wearing gloves. So he's got that. He's got the cape. His shoes are, in fact, red, but they definitely, there's just, he definitely doesn't scream cool. Like, nowhere near the levels that freaking Sonic does. When I look at Mario riding the Yoshi with his cape, his little hat, his arm in the air, like, yeah, I'm celebrating. He's like, I don't know, if I wouldn't call this look very cool for Mario. So I think easily for me, I think character design is going to Sonic. I think he looks way cooler than Mario is. He's an anthropomorphic animal. Is that a word? I don't know. He talks, he can walk, he can probably sing, he has hands so he can grab shit. Sonic's got a lot going on for him, man. Mario's just a plumber. Like, he can do some really cool shit, but I'm just staring at him as a character. I don't really know all that shit. He's not displaying that to me, that he can spit fire. He can ride a dinosaur, which is cool, but I'm going to give the edge to Sonic here in character design. I think he looks cooler. He sounds cooler. Like, he's, well, I mean, you don't really hear him, I don't think, in the original games, but you do hear a little bit of Mario with the wahoo and stuff like that, but I'm sticking with it. I am going, main character design is going to Sonic. We go now to the sidekicks, because sidekicks, pretty freaking important in the Super Nintendo era. There's a lot of sidekicks going on here, and you gotta have yourself a good sidekick. So the sidekicks are Tails, or what's his real name, like Miles or something? It doesn't matter. It's Tails versus Yoshi. Now, I don't think either of these two are very liked, now, are they? I can almost for certain believe that Tails isn't very liked, because I didn't like him very much throughout my playthrough of Sonic 2. Didn't do a lot for me, and he is cute, though. I will give him that. He is fucking adorable. His three tails, he's a little fox, man. Like, Tails is adorable. It's just once he starts talking, you're like, oh, God, yeah. Makes me a little, upsets my tummy a little bit. So, just looking at Tails, very adorable. I love the helicopter tail thing. It's adorable. It is so freaking cute. But homie is useless throughout his whole entire playthrough of Sonic 2 for me. Did he help me ever once? Thinking? No, I don't think so. What he does, he just kind of follows you around. I imagine there's something more to him in the two-player part of the situation, but I don't have any friends, and my wife didn't want to play with me. So he was just kind of running rogue, and he wasn't doing a lot, man. He was just kind of getting in my way. He'd be hitting the little springs when I'm trying to hit into the spring, and he makes it unspring. And I'm like, bro, I'm trying to sprung right now, and you're getting me unsprung. I don't like it. So getting in the way. Now, there is a level where he is flying a little, not a helicopter, an airplane. That's badass. This guy's got his pilot license. He can fly. That's pretty legit, man. Now, if only I could pull out that little airplane whenever I want. Like, yo, I gotta make this wacky jump right here. Just little airplane comes out and he gets me across. But Tails doesn't really come in clutch until like the later stages of the game, where, like, and I will admit, he is a hell of an ace pilot. Like, when you're on that level, like, he is your platform. Like, and he is so, he will never drop you. Never drops you. So I gotta give him some points there for reliability in terms of that man on the sticks. If he is flying an airplane, that's my boy right there. I definitely would prefer to have the talking fox instead of the dinosaur flying my airplane while I'm doing some platforming. So Tails, you got that going for you. Let's go over to Yosh, the Yoshster, who I still to this day do not understand the hatred towards this animal. He's an adorable green little fucking thing. How could you? He is a dinosaur. Were you not a child once? Is it not within in boys' nature to love dinosaurs as a baby or a toddler or whatever? Until even to this date, I still enjoy dinosaurs. Do I play with them? I mean, when I hang out with kids that have the toys, I mean, yeah, I'm not a freak. I'm gonna play with them. I'm gonna play with the kid, but geez. No. But his design is simple. I will give him that. I will give that. He's just kind of a green, kind of plain. And now he does have red shoes on. I don't know what's going on. Everyone got to be... What kind of shoes was Tails rocking right here? What kind of shoes you got, my boy? Oh, he's got red shoes on too. Oh man, okay, we got a situation going on here. Everyone wearing red shoes. This is fucking crazy. We got a pandemic over here. What about the color blue? Anyway, red shoes on everybody. You got Yoshi. Now, like I said, he's a little bit plain. He kind of looks like really easy to draw. Like, I would have been able to draw the shit out of a Yoshi back in the day. Now, looking at him on the box cover, he looks a little strange. He looks like maybe he just farted and, you know, he's looking behind him with that sly look, just waiting for that reaction for someone to sniff it and go, oh, God, what is that? That's kind of the look he's giving off right there. Or, like, who's this douchebag on my back right now? Like, I don't know this guy. And he's just like, wahoo! And he's just like, yo, get off me. But Yoshi, in terms of usefulness, undeniable. Throughout the usage of Super Mario World, that thing is unbelievably powerful. You can get on him, you can ride him, he can swallow up enemies, shit them out into... I don't think he's shitting them out into eggs, but he can... Certain enemies, he can shit them out into fireballs, he can do a lot, man. He can swallow up shells and shoot them out. He's an extra platform. He will sacrifice his life for you. You can sit there and make a jump, and you can jump off of Yoshi, send him down to the pits of hell, and he'll just be like, see, I'm good, I'll be back. And then you go do your thing. He's completely fine with that. You want to know why? Because Yoshi is the fucking homie. He's the homie. Now, not taking into considerations all the things that Yoshi has done after his own games. He can drive a Mario Kart. We're not doing that. We're not going down that far. It's 1991, and I'll just throw that out there right now. So Super Mario did come out first. Sonic 2 has a year on it, so, you know, it's not too much of an edge there in terms of, you know, being a year older and a year more experienced on the technology. So I think it's still a fair go at it. So 1991 for Super Mario World in North America, anyway. I believe it came out in the late 1990 in Japan. Sonic 2, 1992. So there we go. I didn't want to play... I have not played Sonic 1. Sonic 2 is the first Sonic game I've ever gotten through. So I'll just throw that one out there as well. Okay. Back to the big green monster. So Yoshi, like I said, undeniably useful. He can attack enemies. He will take hits for you. He will fucking kill himself for you. He may not look as cool as Tails. He may not be necessarily as cute as Tails. Now, I still think Yoshi is hella cute. Now, he doesn't have color variations in the first game, so he's pretty plain with the green, but Tails ain't changing colors either. So I'm giving it's Yoshi. It's without a doubt Yoshi. The dude helps you out so freaking much throughout the game. Like, when you see that Yoshi egg, you're like, oh, thank God. At least I am, because I'm so terrible at platforming games. I had 20 game overs playing Sonic 2. Just gonna throw that out. 20. I'm awful. So Yoshi wins in the sidekicks category. Right now, it is tied 1-1, 1 point per side. We go now to the main villains. It's not a great hero story without a great villain. So the villains are, you got Bowser, man, in the Super Mario World. He's a ginormous lizard turtle thing, and he's iconic, man. He is absolutely iconic. He looks super cool. I mean, that... He is the leader. He's the Koopa King, man. He's the Koopa King. He's a giant dinosaur who is controlling, like, other dinosaurs. He has the Koopa... Is it the Koopa Kids? I don't know. But he has freaking all those Koopas that he controls to go take out Mario. So he's got some good influence, man. He's got a big kingdom, got a big castle, trying to steal Peach, get a hot girlfriend and all that stuff. So the guy's got ideas. He's got ambition. I respect that. I really, really do. Now, Bowser... The design of him in Super Mario World, really cool, man. He looks very menacing. He looks rather scary, man. I would say he looks a lot more intimidating than he did on the Nintendo. So that's great. And now he's got this big fucking happy face floating thing that he flies around in. I don't love it. It reminds me, I don't know if this is like a Canadian only thing. Probably is, but there's like a certain carnival that would come around in our areas, and they would like pop up in parking lots and shit like that. And they had, like, kind of a clown face for their logo, and it reminds me of that. It reminds me of the Bowser thing, so it just reminds me of good, happy times. You know, I'm on a Tilt-A-Whirl, I'm on the Scrambler, fucking having a good time, and just... So, the big floaty cart thing that he flies around in does not strike fear into me whatsoever. It's actually kind of quite the opposite, actually. It's very unintimidating. Got this big happy face. Now, if it was like a living entity and all of a sudden like big mouth opens up with big scary teeth, now that is some nightmare ass fuel. But Bowser on his own, you know, he's got the spikes all over him, he's got big pointy red hair, he's got big snarling teeth, like, yeah, he's an intimidator, and he's got a big army behind him, so he makes for a good villain. Now, again, we don't know at this point in the early 90s how many, so many times this Bowser guy gets made to look like an absolute fool, but here, he's still pretty intimidating. You know, the constantly stealing Peach away and doing the same thing over and over and over and over again hasn't quite gotten as tedious or annoying yet. So Bowser's still pretty fresh at this point, rocking a new AirPod thing that I don't love. But anyway, it's Bowser, man. He's all time. Everybody knows Bowser. But what about the other guy? What about Eggman? Come on. Let's not forget about the Eggman. Dr. Robotnik, if you will. Now, kind of the similar thing with the Mario versus Sonic thing is that Eggman, Dr. Eggman, Robotnik, he's just a dude, man. He's just a dude, a little tubby, a little round, a little plump, but one of the most awesome mustaches I think I have ever freaking seen in on anybody. That mustache is outstanding. It is iconic. I like his look, you know, with the kind of, I don't really know, it kind of looks like a band outfit, honestly, but the red kind of coat thing that he's wearing, the red, the white, the yellow, it's a good color scheme. I like the fact that he's got the bald head, and he's got the goggles makes him look kind of freaky, man, like a little cool, kind of intimidating, reminds me of Spider-Man 2, Doc Ock, when he puts his little goggles on, so you know it means business. Now, I don't think Eggman's even necessarily the coolest antagonist in Sonic. You got Shadow the Hedgehog and all that. Metal Sonic, that guy was really cool. But what Eggman's got going for him is his brain. This dude is a genius inventor. He can make these insane contraptions and he is using them all. He's not sending out people to do the dirty work for him necessarily. Like, he'll build these machines, he'll get in them, and he is fighting Sonic at the end of every zone. You get a fight with Eggman, so I feel like Eggman's a little bit more brave than Bowser. Bowser, more often than not, is hiding behind an army of Koopas and an army of bosses that you gotta get through before you can get to Bowser's castle, and then he decides he's gonna get his hands a little bit dirty. So I like the initiative of Dr. Eggman. He's definitely out there making things happen himself, which is good, but you know, you don't want to be afraid to give that work to other people and make yourself more strong at the same time. Ooh, it's tough. I like Eggman. I like the fact that he is making his own machinery. But who's to say that Bowser isn't making his own stuff too? I don't know. I don't see the guy making his own stuff. Ooh, I'm going to have to give the edge to Dr. Eggman here. I like the fact that he appears more. He's fighting Sonic more. Like, he is more engaged with his enemy, and he is doing more himself to take down his enemy. And I must say, that final robot that he pulls out with the big spikes and everything, super iconic. Love it. Actually, all of his freaking machines are really cool. The drilling thing that he brings out. He's got helicopters. Like, he is loaded. He is basically like Inspector Gadget, but evil. He's got all these gadgets, and he is using them to try and kill a hedgehog. Really cool, but it's a close battle. It's a close battle. I'm going to give the edge to Dr. Eggman. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's talk graphics. It's the 90s. Graphics are a big fucking deal, bro. We're talking the 16-bit wars. The bits, man. The bits war was huge. It was all about bits. And what are bits? Well, bits are how many little pixels are the characters created of. So there's 16 bits in Mario, and on Nintendo things were made out of 8 bits, and then you get up to 32, and then 64. That's why they called the N64 that, because it was Nintendo 64 bits. That's how many bits we were pushing for. And man, remember the Jaguar when it came out? It was like, yo, we're pushing 64 bit in a 32 bit era, and it was awful. So that's when you start learning that graphics aren't everything, but back here, this is when pixel art was, like, peak, bro. Like, you're talking Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. It doesn't really get a lot better than that. And they're still making games that look like this. They're doing that 16-bit style because it's timeless. It looks so... It still looks good, and now they can polish it up even more, and they're doing that 2D, 3D stuff. Like, holy shit! Now, that obviously has a few more than 16 bits, but back here... It's the bit war, bro. Like, it is, like, that's all the conversation was. Like, how many bits does that have, man? Like, that bittage is ridiculous. It's like, yo, I got 3 bits on this thing. It's crazy. That's the lingo that we were talking about back then. So, graphics is a huge, huge deal. And graphically, Sonic is pretty fucking impressive for its time because of the speed. Sonic is all about the speed, and the Genesis was all about this power and... It's stronger, it's better than Nintendo, Nintendon't, all that shit. And I will say, like, yeah, man, Sonic, very good-looking game. Might be one of the best-looking games on that system. But, now, I can't necessarily say the same thing about Super Mario World. Now, like I said, this came out, I believe this was, like, the launch... Was this not, like, the launch game for the Super Nintendo? So they hadn't figured things out fully yet, what you can get out of that system. Now, when you fast forward, you go to Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Oh, my God. I played that game this year. Looks incredible still. That art style is insanely good. That's not the game we're talking about, though. It's Super Mario World, which is still a great-looking game. Looks awesome. Absolutely awesome. They still use that art style. It's great. And might be, you know, maybe not people's favorite version of Mario, the Super Nintendo version. I really like them. You know, it all kind of depends what era you grew up in. Like, if you started on Super Mario World, you're probably going to love the first 3D Mario version of them. Or you might love the GameCube version of him, where you, like, kind of finally the first decent-looking 3D version of him. Or you go to the HD version, you like the current look of Mario, you can't stand the old 8-bit shit. I think it's probably one of his most iconic looks is the Super Mario World. Looks awesome. It's definitely a different look for the Mario games. Like, it's definitely a different change of pace, if you will, from Mario 3, which is still probably my favorite art style that they use. Like, the stage and things are... It looks like everything's set up and stuff. Like, it's a very, very cool art style that they did there. But... Man, Super Mario World undeniably looks awesome. The sprites are nice and sharp, super colorful game. Tons of variety. Tons and tons of variety. There's so many different enemies, so many different, seven or eight different worlds you're going to, and each world is different. I can't say the same thing there for Sonic. Sonic does not have the amount of worlds and definitely doesn't have the amount of levels that Super Mario World does. There's a ton more variety and different areas to explore in Super Mario World, but what Sonic is doing, like, the amount of shit that is going on in the background is rather fucking impressive. Now, the game does slow down. Sonic 2 does have slowdown issues, especially when things are chaotic. Now, say you got a whole bunch of rings, and you hit something, all your rings go scattering, and there's maybe, like, 3 enemies on the screen, plus you and, like, a fucking 50 rings going all over the place. Yeah, the game slows down, like, really, really badly. It'll slow, it almost, like, it's slow motion, like, it just goes to a crawl. Not ideal, but the game, it's pushing a lot out of the Sega Genesis, and then it has, like, all those, like, what I would call Mode 6 moments on the Super Nintendo. I don't know what they call it on Genesis, but basically, like, kind of a 3D mode. And in Sonic, what they do is they'll have, like, this kind of ring. They kind of put you on this, like, kind of tunnel, and you're going up in the rings and on this. It's really cool. It's a Mode 6 thing that you got on Super Nintendo. And as far as I can tell from remembrance, they don't do a lot of that with Super Mario World. That I can remember. I don't think there's, like, any level in particular that's using Mode 7. There might be, like, kind of an enemy that will move in Mode 7 or something. I'm not 100% on that one. So, I will say that Sonic definitely, like, background-wise, overall, graphically, is more impressive. But the fact that it slows down, it's not quite able to handle that speed and not quite able to handle that graphical situation, that definitely bites it, man. Like, if I could smash into and everything ran perfectly and shit, that would be absolutely sensational. But that being said, Mario runs like absolute just perfectly smooth throughout the whole entire game. There's not a single anything out of place in that game. It runs absolutely perfectly. Looks amazing. So graphically, performance-wise, I'm going to have to give the edge to Super Mario World. We move on to the next category, and that is sound design. Oh, buddy, these games got some banging soundtracks. That is absolutely for sure. And you know what? It's time to listen to some music. Let's start with Sonic 2. We got Mystic Cave Zone. Start. Ooh. Oh, baby. Go Metropolis Zone. Oh yeah. Ooh. That was really good. That's some really good shit right there. Sky Chase Zone? Yeah, man, there is something special about the sound of Genesis, man. There's a very good, I don't know, it's the bass hits a little nicer. It definitely sounds different from a Super Nintendo. So I that was some banging music right there. We gotta go to Super Mario World and see what's cooking on over there. Oh, no, you didn't. Iconic. Ooh. Oh, that's not fair. They're just pulling out the OG, just the straight up themes right there. Now, I will say, just out of pure ear recognition, like Super Mario World obviously has its little finger, or my little finger wrapped around it, or its little finger wrapped around me, because like, dude, I grew up on that soundtrack. That soundtrack was there when the lights flicked on for me when I was a young man. And I still hum those songs. I really enjoy the Sonic music, but I cannot, in any right frame of mind, choose the Sonic 2 music over Super Mario World. Not in this household. So the winner on soundtrack and sound design, it's going to Super Mario World. I apologize, Sonic, but you got some great music there as well. And there is something. It's more grimy on Sega. It sounds a little deeper, a little darker, a little harder, you know what I'm saying? It's just, the melodies that they put into Super Mario World are just timeless. They're so freaking catchy. Like, damn. So hopefully I didn't piss off too many people with that one. We'll finish it off with the gameplay, which is worth a crucial 2 points. And I'm not even going to worry about the score right now, because that would probably, we'll just get into it. Let's talk about the gameplay. So, like I said, this was the first Sonic the Hedgehog game that I've actually completed. I've played a handful of them growing up. I played the original Sonic the Hedgehog. I never liked it. And I was told to skip the first game, just go to Sonic 2. That's where it gets good. And Sonic 3, and then it's up for debate after that, which ones are good and which ones are not good. It depends on the person, I guess. But I did my due diligence and I played Sonic 2 for the first time. And overall, the big difference between Sonic and Mario is that alleged speed situation, and that's where my gripe with Sonic begins, because I'm like, I feel like I can, now you may not hit that breakneck speed in Mario, but I feel like the levels play out faster than a Sonic level does. It, I don't know, man, like, it's just something about the way that they stop momentum in Sonic is what kills the game for me. If they're like, I'm obviously not very good at these games. That's, you know, obviously I had 20 game overs playing through Sonic 2, and I needed tons of save states because I don't know, like when you do a game over, the game starts all over again. So if I'm in World 3 and I get a game over, they make me start the whole game over again. I'm like, not today, walk away, that shit ain't happening. So I was doing save states all throughout the game because I'm not starting all over again. No way, Jose. So there is that. I did use save states, whatever, but died a lot. And the levels are weird, man. Like there was a, especially like in the second half of the game, like through Metropolis and shit like that. I had no idea where I was going. Like, the levels seemingly just go upward and downward. There's no, like, that's what's cool about, like, it's cool and not cool. Like, it's cool that I can go a whole bunch of different ways, seemingly. Like, what I would try to do is try to go up, be up, stay up in the air, but obviously I'm terrible at platforming, so I would fall, and then I would go down to, like, the middle area and, like, down to the bottom. And seemingly there's, like, numerous ways to get through every level, but I was just generally just felt confused. I'm like, am I going the right way? Like, I really don't know. Like, I just hit this tunnel thing. Now I'm fucking spinballed up over here. Where the fuck am I? Where am I going? I don't know. I'm just hoping if I keep going to the right, eventually I'll get to the end and find the Eggman sign and be done with it. Now, the other big difference is like the levels, the way that the worlds work. So with Mario, you got like, okay, you're in world one, you got level 1-1, level 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, yada, yada, yada. And each level takes about, I don't know, a minute, minute and a half or so, depends on your skill and all that, how much you're wanting to collect and all that stuff. Excuse me, with Sonic, it's zones, and there's only two zones, two levels in each zone. You got zone one and zone two. Zone one's like a normal level, you go through it, and then at the end of Zone 2, you go through the level. At the end of it, you fight Eggman. And those are delightful. I much prefer the boss fights in Sonic 2 than I did the boss fights in Mario World. Like, Mario World, they're generally all the same, right? Like, you just jump on them two or three times and be done with them. Now, the Koopa Kids, they did have, like, different ways to beat them. And there was that very random Triceratop boss fight in Super Mario World. Like, yo, we got some dinosaurs here. What's up with that? And they just threw them in there as a boss fight or two. But none of them were really iconic. Like, none of them really, aside from just how out of place the dinosaur one felt, none of them really stuck in my craw. And but then the final fight with Bowser, I would say, yeah, the final fight with Bowser is a better fight than the final fight with Eggman. The final fight with Eggman was rather easy, but he's very cool. He's in this giant red robot, but he's pretty easy. You just have to, like, jump over his claws, you jump on him a few times, and he's done, similar to Mario. But I prefer the Bowser fight, because you got, it's a different fight. He's slamming down onto these bricks, and you gotta make sure he crashes through and falls to the lava. Pretty fucking sweet. So, I'll give the edge there to Mario with the final boss fight, but pure level design, I prefer how Mario plays and controls, honestly. So that's another big difference, is the tightness of the controls. Sonic is way more loosey-goosey. Way, 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 way more loosey-goosey. Now, not necessarily to his detriment, because it's not like I'm, you know, trying to stop and I'm sliding and I'm falling into holes and dying all the time. It's not necessarily that, but what I do hate is, like, when you do lose momentum and speed with Sonic, you gotta get him going again. It's really slow. It's like, okay, now he's running. It's like, okay. So many times I had to, you know, oh, I didn't do this freaking jump right, so I gotta go all the way back or spinball my way back and hit the spring properly. And sometimes, like, I would just let it, like, sometimes when I would try to control him, when I hit the spring and I'm like, I go shot up in the air and I try to control it, I don't go very far. But then when I just let him hit the thing and just go and don't touch anything, he goes fucking flying. I'm like, whoa, I can't control him. It's crazy. So he's definitely more sporadic. I will give Sonic, like, when you actually get to go fast, which is rare. This is why I don't understand Sonic. Like, it's all about speed, but so often you're stopped and you got to do this jump or you got to stop and reset your momentum or whatever the fuck. But when you actually, like, there's a level, early level, you're just zing, you just go through, you hit a loop, you go through the fucking twisty little thingy, you hit another loop, you go through another twisty thing, you're like, that was dope. But I didn't do anything. I just sat there and it just all does it automatically. Now, collecting rings is really satisfying, but why do I have to lose all my rings when I get hit once? I have, like, 60 rings. I get hit by one fucking thing. All 60 are gone. Really annoying. Like, why is all of them gone? Why not just half? Why don't you just take half of them? So the way that you die in Sonic is if you get hit, you lose your rings are at zero. If you get hit again, boom, you're done. Mario, it's a different thing. Mario has power-ups. Sonic has some power-ups, but they do not work the same. With Sonic's power-ups, you'll, like, find a thing, and it'll be like, oh, it's basically like a free hit. You got this, like, kind of spinning orb around you, and you'll take a hit. Cool. The other one, it's, I don't even really know what they do, all of them, so there's that. So clearly, the power-ups in Mario have a substantial boost, because the power-ups in Mario are iconic. You got the flower, you got the cape, fucking Yoshi's got a power-up. You can put fucking wings on that thing and you're flying around. It's crazy. The cape is, like, really fucking cool. And it also uses speed momentum similar to Sonic. And if I dare say so, cooler. It's really cool. You got the cape on, you start running, and you fly up into the air, and now you're controlling Mario with this cape, and he's making those weird zing fucking sounds. And you're like, ah, this is pretty fucking cool. So Mario's also using speed and momentum in their games, but the difference is the control in Super Mario World is chef's kiss. It is so tight, so precise. You are in full control. Like, if you die, it is 99% your fault. You didn't jump right, you jumped too early, too late, whatever the fuck. The controls are not an issue in Mario whatsoever. And the level design is, aside from the Forest of Illusions, way easier to follow. Like, it's pretty much you're going right, you're gonna have some fucking platforming to do on your way there, but there's, you know, again, it's a positive and a negative when it comes to Sonic. Like, yeah, it's really cool on the replayability side, where I'm like, ooh, I can try and go up, I can try this, oh, I haven't seen this path before. So there's definitely an edge in Sonic 2, I would say, in replayability, though there aren't as many levels to replay as there are in Super Mario World. There's definitely more levels to play in that game. It's tough, man. It's definitely tough. I still prefer the level design of Mario. Sonic stuff just doesn't hit for me, man. Like, I don't like the constantly stopping my momentum when I'm going. Like, there's just generally bad enemy placement where you're just naturally going to get launched off this pad. They're going to have an enemy, like, right there. I'm going to get hit. There's nothing I can really do about it. And you just know the enemies, the placement of the enemies in Super Mario World were just, like, so hand-selected, perfectly placed everywhere you put them. It's like, And not only that, like, Mario games also, like, kind of teach you how to play as you go. Sonic didn't teach me a fucking thing. I didn't know about the spin ball. I didn't know I could do a spin ball thing, which would have helped me in some of the early levels, but, like, I had no idea I can do that. Like, Mario will teach you things without fucking putting it up on the screen, like, hey, idiot, this is how you do it. They'll just make the level show you yourself, and it'll make you do it naturally, and you're like, oh, I can do this, because the level design made me do it. And it was like, oh, see, that's how, okay, I get it now. Sonic wasn't doing that shit, man. It was just kind of throw me out there, goes fast and crazy and smashing the walls and smashing in the enemies. Just didn't have the satisfaction that a Mario level has. Like, yeah, the breakneck speed is cool, but it really doesn't do a lot for me, enjoyment wise, outside of looking at it, like, whoa, look at that little blue fuck go, he's going all over the place, really neat. But I don't know, man, the level design just wasn't really it for me in the Sonic games. And like I said, with the power-ups, like, it's kind of night and day. Like, the power-ups in Mario are just so much better than Sonic. They just don't have a lot of power-ups in Sonic. And Mario's already had three games previous with awesome power-ups, you know, Super Mario 3. I still prefer the power-ups in that game over Super Mario World, the Tanuki suit and all that shit. But, and the raccoon suit, of course. Raccoon suit is, like, all time. I fucking love that thing. Gotten me through so many levels I would never have beaten. And the P-Wing. My goodness. Anyway, that's a different game. We're not talking about that game. I think it's safe to say the gameplay, it's going to Mario as well. And, pretty safe to say I think the winner is Mario here. In terms of, we'll go back through it. Main character, I give the edge to Sonic. I like the design of Sonic the Hedgehog over Mario in Super Mario World. Sidekicks, I chose Yoshi. Yoshi is more useful than Tails was in Sonic 2. In terms of your main villain, I gave the edge to Eggman. He makes his own stuff. He fights Sonic more. I like his initiative. Graphics, it's going to Mario. More variety. lot more different levels, more worlds, way more enemy variety. Like, I don't even know what the enemies are in Sonic. Like, what is that? Like a monkey or something? Like, there's cool robotic shit. And I will give, like, Metal Sonic, that dude's cool as shit. Like, he looks so cool, red eyes and everything. Aw. Like, that probably would have given me nightmares. That thing would definitely have given me nightmares as a kid if I saw it. But there's so many more different types of enemies in Mario World. Like, it's kind of no contest, the amount of extra shit that they have. Soundtrack, kind of a wash. A little bit. It really, like, for me, Mario is always going to have that inside track because I grew up on that soundtrack, man. Like, it's still in my head. I still hum the songs every now and again. And when they come on, I go, ooh, ooh. And Sonic, don't do that to me. I'm sorry. Even though the bam, 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 I love that. It's great. I love the soundtrack in Sonic. It's just, it's Mario, bro. So here I am. In a Blockbuster, in a Zellers. How about that? Does anyone remember Zellers in Canada? I'm in a Zellers right now. Or how about Toys R Us? I think Toys R Us is still going. But I'm in a Zellers right now, and I've made the decision. I have selected the Super Nintendo Super Mario World bundle. Here you go, parents. Go buy that for me, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to plug it in, and I'm going to play Super Mario World, and I will... There you go. The decision has been made. If I was in that boat back in the day, and I had that decision, which I didn't, I just... When my lights turned on when I was 4 years old, I was a Nintendo kid. There was a Super Nintendo and a Nintendo there from day one, and that's where I started. And then yeah, here I am now, an every system guy. I love all systems. I won't say that I don't love PC. I appreciate PC. It's just out of my price range. I'm good. But there we go, everybody. Were you that kid back in the day? Were you old enough to have, like, to have to make that decision? Like, I didn't have to make that decision until, like, the PS2 era, and I was so 100% getting the PS2, it wasn't even funny. There really was no decision there. A little more of a decision, I guess, when it came to the Xbox, but my friends made that decision for me. We all bought Xboxes, so that one was easy. I never had, like, a really hard decision. Now it's easy. I can have them all if I want them. It's just, I'll get them when I get them. But, man, I wasn't there for that boat. I was definitely there for, like, the graphics wars, you know, talking about graphics and, oh, this looks like shit, that this is better. And I was definitely there for the console wars, just different ones. Like, I was there for the 360, I was there for the PS2 console wars, you know what I'm saying? But I just don't think we're ever gonna have it the way that we did back in the 90s. Like, that shit was diehard, man. Like, you were rather a diehard Sega or you're a diehard Nintendo guy. You definitely have that now. I feel like more on the side of, like, PC and Nintendo. Like, if you're a Nintendo person, you're probably, like, just kind of with that ecosystem. If you're a PC person, you're probably a PC Master Race person, and you're all about PC. Me, I love variety. I love gaming. I think every single system has a good thing going for it and a bad thing going for it, but it's a conversation for a different day, and that is another Versus Down. It's been so long since we did a Versus. I hope it was enjoyable. I know it's not really the most original Versus, but it's one that I, you know, like I said, I'm not really big on either of these games. I'm not huge on Mario. I've never been big on Sonic, and I'm still not big on Sonic. Sonic 2 didn't win me over. I was like, yeah, it was fine. I do want to play more of them. Like, I want to play Sonic and Knuckles. I want to play Sonic Mania. I want to play... I think that's pretty much the extent of where I want to go with it. Maybe Frontiers. Maybe I'd try that one. I don't know about, like, Sonic Adventure. There's so much, like, varying opinions on that game. I would give it a shot. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go from here with Sonic. Like, I'm not dying to get to more Sonic games. And the fact, like... It's really criminal that they don't have all the Sonic games available on the Sega Genesis online. They only have Sonic 2. What is that about? Like, where's Sonic 1? Where's Sonic 3? Like, those are must-have games. They're must-have games. I'm shocked they're not on there. Hopefully they hear this and put at least Sonic 3 on there for me, because I really want to try that one out as well. But all said and done, I just don't think Sonic's for me, man. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Now, if you're a Sonic person that does get it, can you explain it to me? Like, what is it? Like, it's probably the fact that I played Mario games. Like, if I hadn't played a Mario game, I'd probably have a different opinion on Sonic and think it's actually really fucking awesome. But I've played numerous Mario games. It's really hard to be like, yeah, Sonic's better. It's just, in my opinion, it's not really that close of a contest. I think it was just in terms of popularity, it was close. Like, the character of Sonic was pretty fucking close, if not maybe a little more popular than Mario was in the 90s. Like, Sonic was cool, man. Sonic's really cool. I watched his cartoons over the Mario cartoons when I grew up. I watched Sonic X. Watched the shit out of that show on Fox as a kid. I loved that. Gotta go fast. Gotta go faster, 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 Sonic X. What a song. What a song. Anyway, that's my opinions on the Mario World and Sonic 2 versus. It's clear-cut Mario World wins, but I definitely like some things about Sonic. So let me know which one you would prefer. I'm definitely at the end of my rope right here, so let's cut this episode off. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. You're the best. You want to be even more of the best. Make sure you're reviewing and sharing around the podcast wherever you're listening to it. Give it a nice, fair, honest review. You know, I'm not begging for 5 stars. Give me an honest review if you think it's... But if there's a problem, please tell me. Like, I needs to know. So that'd be great. I upload all these episodes to the YouTube channel, GamerGX Videos. You can go over there, subscribe. The link is in the description. Follow along on the YouTube channel. Drop a comment on one of the episodes. You want a question answered live on the pod? Anything about wrestling, video games, or hacky would be preferred. Drop a comment on YouTube. You can do comments on Spotify. I got a Twitter page where I try to put up announcements as best as I can. So yeah, all those links are in the description. Go follow along. All that great stuff. You the best. And in terms of what else we got going on with the podcast right now, I just did a hockey cast, so you can check out my opinions on the second round, and it's going really good right now, but I don't want to get too excited, so we'll see. Right now, I'm in a great mood in terms of round two. We'll see by Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday how I'm feeling. It could be a completely different story, or I might be very, very happy, so be on the lookout for the next hockey cast. Could be the first time I experience something in my life. And what is that? If the Leafs make it to the third round, that will be the first time in my life I've experienced this. This is only the third time in my life I've seen the Leafs in the second round. So, and this, shit you not, this is the best I've ever seen them. This is the best I've ever seen the team. So I'm having a great time with this right now. I'm trying to enjoy it and not take this for granted and just enjoying it. So there you go. That'll be on this week. Next GamerCast, don't really know 100%. Could be Oblivion, could be another list. We'll see what we do. And the WrestleCast. Backlash is this weekend, so I'll have an extra pay-per-view review out for Backlash once I get to that, along with your regular weekly recap for AEW and WWE. There it is. All right, I'm gonna go. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. You the best. We'll be back again with some more GX Plus Game.